And now for a David and Goliath business story. When you think of English muffins, you probably think of one brand.
Note the nooks and crannies. They make Thomas's crispier and crunchier than yours.
And light and airy, too.
Precisely.
137 years ago, in 1880, Samuel Bath Thomas invented the English muffin at his New York bakery. And today, hundreds of millions of Thomas's English muffins are sold each year. Well, a startup called Stone and Skillet is trying to change that. 3 years ago, co-owners Dan Carruthers and Kyle Meekins started making English muffins in their apartment. Now they're churning out tens of thousands a week and selling them across the Northeast and perhaps soon across the nation. I visited Kyle and Dan at their Massachusetts bakery. We're in Medford.
Yes.
Outside of Boston.
Yeah.
This is, looks unassuming. I wouldn't even know this was a bakery.
It is. This used to be a pizza shop, actually, for a long time. Before that, it was a catering shop. When we started off, we weren't making very many English muffins, and we kind of came in here and did what we could with the infrastructure, then made it an open floor plan. So now it's a fully functioning muffin factory, making 40,000 muffins a week by hand right now, out of 750 square feet. So it's come a long way since a pizza shop.
All the Stone and Skillet muffins come from here?
For the most part, almost everything we do is based out of here. And the nice thing about having a pizza shop was that no one's ever made these things this way before, so we kind of created it, so we were able to form it into almost exactly what we needed it to be.
Wow. All right, well, let's take a look inside.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
We walk up the flour-covered steps into the kitchen. There are four or five people working the dough, cooking, and packing muffins, four per bag.
If you just kind of look around, you can kind of stand in the middle of the bakery and just do a 360 and get a sense of how everything's done. Right over here, we're standing next to the mixer, which mixes the dough. And then it goes over to the portioning station, which basically you're just taking the dough, turning it into dough balls. So what we do after they're formed into these 3-ounce dough balls, we put them on sheet trays lined with cornmeal. And we proof them, which means that you're allowing the yeast to kind of rise and do its thing. So after it doubles in size, we bring it over to where this is kind of the secret sauce of the whole operation is, we flat top griddle them instead of ovens. And that's what gives it that kind of nice golden brown top and bottom. It kind of fries up the cornmeal a little bit, too. So it adds a nice, texture and aesthetic to the product, too.
How long from the moment that you start and put the flour in the mixer to the moment it's ready to be purchased?
Probably about 12 to 15 hours.
Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
We kind of keep this whole old New England style theme going. You know, all of our machinery is really basic bakery machinery. Our dough divider was made in East Germany, if that tells you how old it is.
Wow.
And
can I see the dough divider?
Sure.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, actually. So,
R2-Dough 2.
Yeah. R2-Dough 2. It does look like
we were going to color it. R2-D2. We were going to paint it. We were extremely ambitious when we first got it, but the orders start coming in, so we didn't have enough time. But basically what you do is you take these 7-pound dough heads, is what they're called, and you put them on these plates, and you kind of pat it out into a circle, and then you bring this thing down, it cuts it, and then this plate spins it, and in a minute Jose will show you how it's done. It's pretty cool, actually. This is every single muffin is made in this thing.
How did you find that?
We found it on Craigslist, and it's a workhorse. It's been working for us for as long as we've been here.
R2-Dough 2.
We've had that thing since we started. Before we started with that, Dan and I, we worked overnight in a couple of our friends' restaurants, and we rolled every single one of them out by hand. So we'd literally be doing thousands of muffins a night, rolling them out, cutting them to the exact weight, putting them on the grill, packaging them by hand, and doing a little twist tie.
Good way to get
out the door. Yeah.
So Jose's patting this out right now, we'll show you how it goes into the machine here. A little flour on top so it doesn't stick.
R2-Dough 2, hard at work. So, how did these guys have success in a business that has had one dominant player for so long? So, one of the things about your muffins is that they are very different from the muffins, the English muffins that we all know and have known forever the Thomas English muffins. What's different about them?
Well, I think the biggest difference in our muffins compared to a Thomas's is the way that it's made. Again, it's all handmade, and they don't see any ovens. They're flat-top griddled, so it gives it a nice golden brown top and bottom.
Tastes kind of like a donut.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's almost like a savory donut. What's nice about kind of griddling them on the flat tops is you get that fried cornmeal, but you also get kind of crispy top and bottom and, like, the nice, soft, pillowy inside, too. So there's a lot of different textures going on there. So that, I think, is the biggest thing that differentiates us from the English muffins that, you know, most people are used to.
Do you see Thomas as your main competition?
I mean, you know, we're kind of in a class of our own. You know, we're something a little bit more premium. You know, there's nothing wrong with Thomas's or any other of those English muffins, but right now we're kind of we're doing our own thing.
Well, you're not known for your nooks and crannies, which they are.
No. Yeah. We don't do nooks and crannies. Yeah. Well, we like a dense product because what that does is it allows us to apply it to more culinary applications, you know, like burgers, sandwiches, pizzas. It's really good for croutons. You can do a lot of stuff with it. French toast, really good.
Hmm. Why did you decide to get into the English muffin business?
So, I had the idea when I was working for another artisan bakery as a salesman. Dan was a chef in Boston, and we had a lot of mutual chef friends. And every time I went to try to make a bread sale, they would say, hey, do you guys have any English muffins? And I'd go back to my boss, and he'd say, oh, we don't make them. That's not really baking. It's kind of this in-between cooking and baking. I came to Dan, and I said, we have our chef friends. They're curing their own back bacon. They're poaching their eggs in champagne vinegar, and they're putting it on Thomas's English muffin. And it's not necessarily the right application for them. So let's create the best English muffin in the world and see what happens.
I know that one of the big moments for you was when Whole Foods decided to carry your muffins. How did you get that to happen?
So we were at the Boston Food Festival, and we brought what we thought was enough product for the whole 5-6 hour event. And we ultimately ended up running out in an hour. But while we were there, somebody came up to me and said, are you guys in Whole Foods? And I said, no, you know, we've always thought we should be, but we're not. And he said, that's because you haven't met me yet. And he ended up being one of the local foragers. And within a few months, we were in every Whole Foods in New England and kind of took off from there.
And now expanding.
Yeah, we've expanded out to the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut Whole Foods. And we're in discussions with the Mid-Atlantic region and the Rocky Mountain region as well.
Now, no offense to this space, but you're not going to be able to stay in here much longer,
no,
are you?
No way. No. It's the walls are closing in. And we're actively looking for much larger spaces in and around Boston. We want to stay in Boston because it's our hometown, and we kind of claim that old New England style, so it's part of the brand. But, you know, we're actively looking for more automation, something that keeps the integrity of the product, but also is able to supply the demand that we're starting to recognize nationally.
I know you've been looking at a very expensive machine.
Yeah, they're really expensive. Bakery production machines are extremely expensive, but I mean, they pay for themselves, you know, over in a year. But this one in Germany particularly took us about 3 years to find this, and it pumps out 4,500 muffins an hour. And currently we're doing 400, maybe 500 on a good day.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to tell me that the biggest purchase I'd ever make in my life was a machine that would make English muffins, I wouldn't have believed you. But it's, you know, it's more than the majority of people's homes cost. So we're working our way towards it.
How many people do you employ right now?
We employ about 25 to 30, all said and done.
And do you think that as you expand, you're going to employ more people?
Absolutely. It's such a labor-intensive process. We have to find people who care just like we do, and we've been lucky to do that. But since we make these things by hand, it's a human process. And even when we bring in other machinery, it's going to continue to be because we want to monitor that quality.
What's the biggest failure that you've experienced along the way?
Wow. How much time do you have? We grew too rapidly. We brought on people on our team really quickly. We ramped up for projected sales that didn't hit as quickly as we thought they would. And then we backed off and the sales hit, right? So it's just this when you're growing, you're always trying to find the right ratio of growth to kind of profit.
What would you say, biggest failure?
That's pretty much what I would say. Yeah, it just kind of balancing the act of accommodating the growth that's coming in, where we're not putting the company financially at risk, is quite a dance that we're working on and we're learning and we're getting better every day at.
Well, so many businesses like yours don't end up making it. They fail at some point. Are you still worried about that, or you think you've gotten over that hurdle?
Well, I mean, they say it's the first 18 months and then, you know, you're in the clear, but I can tell you that that is not the case. You're always you're always at risk.
So do you think in 5 years, if we were to talk to you, you'll be bigger than Thomas?
We hope so. Yeah, I mean, that'd be great.
He's got a 100-year head start, so the goal is to ultimately grow this into what we know what we can be.
That's Kyle Meekins and Dan Carruthers, co-founders of Stone and Skillet. Guys, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And if you want to see R2-D2, we've got a video from inside the bakery at hereandnow.org.